It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
From the Labatt Blue Studio, it's time for quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com for the ultimate tailgating experience in Happy Valley. I had a chance to spend the weekend there for the blue-white game. Lots of fun.
Good. It's great. I don't think anyone's really ever had a bad experience that I've heard. I think Ross is still talking about some
the Wisconsin game.
Yeah, the Wisconsin game last year. So I mean, and when they have the deal that they offer, or those deals that they offer, it's just, if you just do the math on it, it's pretty obvious you need to do it.
I was talking to Mark. He's got a couple things up his sleeve for the start of the 19 season. So that was another tease there, wasn't it? We'll have more information on that. Anyway, I am Jim. That's Bob. That's Andy. And this is Bob's topic. We're going to take a look at the players that you're anxious to see, the incoming freshmen who haven't arrived yet. So who do you want to see,
Bob? Not necessarily. Obviously, there's some of the guys I want to mention are pretty high-profile recruits. But there's a couple others that interest me just on whether how quickly they transition or whether they maybe they exceed maybe the expectation maybe going in of the fan base or the coaching staff. But I think the guy that that really intrigues me the most, just because I have a funny feeling that he's going to be a really, really, really good player and force Penn State to make a tough decision, is Devin Ford. I know that he is probably of the August arrivals the highest ranked by the recruiting services. And you look at what happened in spring with the emergence, not only of Journey Brown as a solid number two in James Franklin's mind, because he said that Ricky Slade and Journey had separated themselves. And then you got a chance to see Noah Cain do some things that you really thought he would do, just be a really physical runner, run through tackles, made some people miss, showed he could catch the ball. So it's clear that he made progress. But in terms of pure talent, I'm just wondering if Devin Ford isn't closer to Ricky Slade than the other two in terms of pure talent, and if he wows some people in a couple of scrimmages, if you're Penn State, what do you do? I mean, you've already basically, I think the running backs coach, Juwan Siders, already said, we expect to play Noah Cain. Well, what if Devin Ford is lights out in August? Are you really prepared to play four running backs and two true freshmen?
I see RBBC at Penn State. I don't think you eliminate Devin Ford. Noah Cain is, to quote Dennis Green, is exactly what you thought he was.
Yeah.
And that's a really good thing for Penn State, because exactly what he is kind of a little bit of what they need at the position at times. But the talent of Devin Ford across the board is in all three different phases of a running back: blocking, running, receiving. I think he's going to have a say, and I think if you're using three or four running backs, I know what the offense has been, but I still think the offense
can be
as diverse with four guys and at that talent level.
And the beauty of the new redshirt rule enables them to almost have a competition if they wanted to. If they're like, we like Journey, we like Ricky, but we're not really sure who we like better, Noah or Devin, you have a couple of games to figure it out, and then you can go back and say, hey, look, it's in your best interest. You can play if you want to this year, but you're behind this guy, we can redshirt you.
I look at the college football landscape, and I see Georgia, I see Clemson, I see Alabama, I see Ohio State. I see him using multiple running backs on sort of a level playing field, two, sometimes three, and they're still going to the NFL.
It's obvious you could do that at the college level. What I find fascinating about Devin Ford is we all sort of forgot about him.
Yeah.
A guy this highly rated has kind of gone under the radar.
Who was after him? Clemson, Virginia Tech, some other schools that are known for producing really good running backs.
We had him on for an interview. What I also like, really mature kid. Seemed like the kid who would be bright, pick things up quickly.
He looked physically, and when we saw him, we're down for the bowl game, Greg Pickle and I. We saw him at the Under Armour practice. He looked pretty close to being physically ready to play right away, too. That was in January.
Hey, if this is your big problem that you have too many guys at a position, that's not a bad problem. Sure. The nice thing, as opposed to quarterbacks, you can play multiples, you can rotate them, and like Andy said, they can still all get drafted. You want to give us another one?
Yeah, Bob? Obviously, Caden Wallace is a good player, but I think that Penn State is pretty comfortable with their top three guards, and it's really hard, I think, for unless you're Connor McGovern, who's in the NFL now, to play right away. So I'm going to skip the obvious. Obviously, he's a good player. A guy that interests me is John Dunmore for a couple of reasons.
That was one of my guys.
Because I think that when you watch him and his speed and the way that he runs routes, he was also at the Under Armour practice sessions. He's a very smooth player. But the question is, with his frame at 6'2", 175 pounds, I just don't know physically if he's ready to play. But you could probably have said the same thing about Jahan Dotson last year. He was not the biggest kid either. They still aren't really set, I think, for sure, in their top six wideout. And I think that John Dunmore's a guy that, you know, just as we weren't talking about Jahan Dotson at this time last year, we could be talking about this guy if he has a strong August.
And that's the nice thing again. You could test him out, put him on the field, see what happens, and you have a four-game leeway because of the new rule, which, by the way, I love that rule.
Right, and if Justin Shorter is going to always be injury-prone, and, you know, they need somebody who can stretch the field and that's not named K.J. Hamler. K.J., I think, is best in the slot, in space. I don't know if you want him to run a lot of 50-yard patterns. I think you just want to get him the ball in space and let him run after the catch.
But you need somebody else
take
who
the top
can
over
go
the defense, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see receiver as one of the more open positions in terms of who slots themselves where in the depth chart and who gets snaps and playing time. To me, beyond Hamler and possibly Justin Shorter, but beyond K.J. Hamler, you know, it, to me, it's open season beyond that. I mean, I like Jahan Dotson. You know, I think John Dunmore could have a say in this. I agree with you. I think I think August is the time when Penn State figures out the slotting of its receivers. I don't think they have a lack of options.
Well, I think it's going to be more September to figure it out.
To figure out where they're going to start, but I think they have a bevy of options, but I just don't see anything as looking very concrete to me right now, and I'm like, wide receiver looks wide open, and that's a good thing because they got some dudes to choose from.
Bevy of options. I like that.
That was in honor of Ross and his Princeton education.
All right, you're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number two, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. If you get a chance, check it out. A lot of fun. Andy, I'm going to give you a chance to throw out one of your guys here.
Well, I wasn't going to go where I was. Dunmore was at the top of my list.
Okay, fine. Just put it out there, Andy, and let us make fun of it.
Let's talk about safeties. I think Jaquan Brisker is going to play in the NFL. I think eventually he's going to be an impact player at Penn State. I love the kid.
That's a pretty bold prediction right there. You should have saved that one.
I think Jaquan Brisker is going to be an NFL draft pick, and I think the safeties at Penn State, as they're constructed right now, are going to get a little bit more of a push come August.
One note of caution, traditionally, JUCOs at Penn State very rarely make a huge impact.
They
very
rarely make a huge impact.
But I think the difference with this guy, again, you don't want to make just a blanket statement based on the past, but this is a guy who is a real ball hawk. And something we haven't always seen at safety at Penn State, right, Andy?
Junior college All-American.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly went to junior college for nothing to do with football. And that's fine. He had to go get his house in order at a junior college, but it was not football related. Highly recruited out of high school, a ball hawk, and he can step down in the box, and he can bang, too. And he's a very good tackler. I don't think he's going to be an one of the guys that takes over in a starting role. I just think he's somebody whose name you're going to hear from August into early September.
And play in the NFL.
I think eventually he's going to be an NFL
I like it.
Guy.
I like it.
Bold.
It is bold, but if you look at that, a lot of Penn State safeties do play in the NFL if they can get on the field for at least 1 year.
And I know what you've said about JUCO transfers into Penn State historically, but I think he has to at least get an opportunity or else he wouldn't have been brought in. You don't bring in these guys for 1 or 2 years just, you know, thinking, oh, they'll be back, sit on the bench and never play. You bring them here for a reason and a positional need. So I think that's why he has a good chance to perform as Andrew has boldly said he would. Could I throw a couple names out?
Sure.
I guess that's a good radio, Bob. Pointing back at me. Here's two names at the very bottom of the list. Joseph Darkwa and Daquan Hardy.
Those were the other two names I was going to bring up. Very well done.
Thank you. Some of it's the curiosity factor. You go out to Germany, you grab a guy, you must have seen something there. Now, it may take a while before it comes out and you see it on the field, but they must have seen some kind of special talent there. In fact, and this year they were back in Germany, so they must have liked what they saw. And Daquan Hardy, I'm always interested in those guys who are a little bit undersized, who all they need is the opportunity. I think when they get scouted, people say, oh, he's too small, and they ignore all the other skill levels.
I would say, for what you said about both, I think is very accurate. How big of a project is Joseph Darkwa going to be? Is he 2 years away? Is he 3 years away? Does he need to get bigger? But the Hardy almost interests me a little bit more, especially as a return man, especially maybe as a punt returner, because the way college football is going now is you don't get that many chances to return kickoffs. Even KJ Hamler, one of his most memorable kickoff last year was against App State. When they told him to stay in the end zone, he ignored them with the game on the line and a minute to go, and he got the ball to midfield. But, I mean, it's more, I think, in the punt return game. And even that's getting tough with the way the guys put the ball high in the air. But I think Hardy is a guy on special teams as a return man, Ashe, that maybe could make an impact in the first year.
I like Daquan Hardy because of the curiosity factor of I have no idea what he's good at. I just know he does a lot of different things really well. And how does that translate onto a college field for Penn State? I want to find out. Is he a legit corner? Is he just a special teams guy and a returner? Is there more to his game? You know, does he flip? He can play offense. Trust me.
Well, but even if he comes in as a return specialist, that's a worthwhile scholarship there.
Absolutely.
Special teams, Bob.
Yeah, well,
special
they're thinking about getting a kid from Virginia Tech that just does nothing but kick off. Yeah, and they put him on scholarship. I mean, they'll do it. So, yeah, I think, Jimmy, your list of those two were great.
Thank you. On that note, that's it for quarter number two. Stick around. It's Ask Andy and Bob.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.